Praise the Lord. God is so good. Well, I've been praying a lot, studying a lot, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to start teaching the book of Revelation. And so that's what we're going to have on Sunday morning for a while, maybe 22 weeks, I don't know. Anyway, it's been a long time since we've had the lessons in Revelation, and so we're going to have this study. Praise God. Our praise is going up this morning. Glory to God. Let's turn to the book of Revelation. Last book in the Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And before we do, I've been in prayer a lot this week and studying late at night and different things just to get this lesson ready today. And I'd like to just ask the Lord to just direct us and show us what he wants us to know today. Praise the name of Jesus. We just love you, Lord, so much. We thank you, Father, that you didn't leave us with no understanding, with nothing to know. But you have given us the truth of your word, and you've given us such depths, dear Lord. And we know, Father, that you're able to be with us and open our eyes, dear Father, and our ears and our mind. Dear Father, I know many here have heard these lessons many times, but we're believing you in the name of Jesus just to help us each one to lay hold of what is being taught today, Father God. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, Christ is coming really soon. I don't know if you feel that, but I do. I feel it. I feel it, that he's coming very soon. This COVID thing and all this stuff we're going through in the world, I don't believe it's going to be long until Jesus Christ is going to be here. And so we're going to go through whatever we have time to do, and Lord willing. So I felt like it was time to teach Revelation again. And in the book of Revelation, if you'll turn with me just quickly to the 22nd chapter, I want you to, I know many of you already know what is there, but let's go there to the 22nd chapter, and we're going to read the blessing that God puts on us for wanting to know what he has for us in this book. In the 22nd chapter, verses 8 and 9, it says, I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book, of this book, worship God. And then he says in verse 10, he said to me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Praise the Lord. And then in verse 20, he which testifieth these things, saying, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I believe that we are really in the last days, and I know that there are some in the meeting who haven't heard this teaching. And John was the writer that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he was one of the disciples. He was the youngest one of the disciples. When he was there with Jesus as one of the disciples, he loved Jesus so much, he would just lean on Jesus all the time. Evidently had a close place right next to Jesus when they sat down at the table or anything. And it shows John's love and his following Jesus. And Jesus called he and his brother, James and John. They were fishermen, sons of Zebedee, which was a name that meant thunder. Maybe this guy was a loudmouth. I don't know. But he was their father. And Jesus called these two boys, James and John, and said, leave your fishing and follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And then this is the scripture that I'm going to read to you, Matthew 4, 21 and 22. Going on from hence, he saw other two brothers. He had already gotten some brothers to come with him. And they left their father's fishing boat and followed Jesus. And it is said that John, being just a young boy, leaned on Jesus' chest. He loved Jesus and showed him that love all the time when they would sit down. So, and remember, I'm just kind of talking about John at the first here. Remember when Jesus was crucified on the cross? Were all the disciples there watching and standing there? Who was there? John. John stood right by Mary and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus looked down from the cross, he gave instruction to John. He said, "You take my mother." He said, "Behold your son," he said to his mother. And then he said to him, "Behold your mother." And that it says from that day forward, John took Jesus' mother to watch after her and take care of her. And after Nero's reign, I think nearly all of us know about Nero. He was a very, very wicked, wicked Caesar. And he did much persecution to the Christians, boiling them in oil and had invented great big giant pans to put the Christians in there and burn them with the oil. And he was a horrible man. And after he died, praise God, a man named Domitian, who became emperor, and at the time of this writing, that's who is the emperor of Rome. And he was up in Ephesus, and that's where John had been ministering before he got in this trouble, okay? In Ephesus, if you look on a map, you'll see where Ephesus is. It's in Turkey now. It was called Asia in that day of the Bible. But Domitian had, I guess that's the way you pronounce it, he had a temple built for himself there in Ephesus. And I'm sure John probably had a lot to say about that. And that's probably why he's gotten put in the Isle of Patmos in this text. So he exiled John to Patmos off the west coast of Asia. If you look on a map, here's Turkey, right out here. Today, the west, over here, there's an island, and there's a lot of islands there. So when I looked for that, I thought, well, which one is it? But anyway, that's where it was. And I found out that that island was populated, but there were parts where they put people that they didn't like. They put them out there and exiled them. And exile means usually that they're by themselves and really in need and maybe don't have much food or anything. I mean, that was a terrible place. Yes, so he preached against the emperor. That's why he was put there. And, you know, there's a theory, I can't find it as fact, that he was actually boiled in oil first, and it wouldn't hurt him at all. But you can't find that in history. It's later, someone, you know, added that. So we don't know that that's true. But John was getting really old at this point. He was elderly, and this was quite a thing for him to have to be put into exile. So he came to know Jesus in about A.D. 30. Jesus was 30 years old when he began to minister, and he gathered up his disciples to be with him. Now, this is a lot later than that. If you look in your margin, I think it will tell you that it's about A.D. 96. So that shows how much that John has gotten older and is just out there. Do you think he was defeated? I don't believe he was defeated at all. I think he was just worshiping the Lord every day. And that, what happened when he began to just meditate on God and just worship with the Lord, and the Lord gave him a wonderful, wonderful revelation. Praise the Lord. So we're going to begin reading. I do want to say this, and most of you know this, but I like to say so we understand who John really is. He wrote the book of St. John, and what he saw in the Lord Jesus Christ was God, Jesus, the Son of God. That's how he portrayed Jesus. He didn't say Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He doesn't say that. He's right off, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He showed that the only scripture we really have, that we're saved by grace. Everlasting life. We have been given everlasting life. In chapter 3, he recorded the words of Jesus. So he also wrote 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. He's a busy man. And the book of Revelation. So that's wonderful, isn't it? So all the disciples at this point have been martyred. They've been martyred, and only he remains alive. And he will die a natural death, because after being in the Isle of Patmos, imprisoned there, we don't know exactly how long, they released him, and he went back up to Ephesus. And I understand by some writings that they say he was the pastor there. So that's interesting to me. I like that. Now, we're going to go ahead and begin reading, but we're going to read verse 1 through 3. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. If you look at the top of your Bible on this page, you're going to see it that says there, the revelation of Saint John the Divine. Well, you need to mark that out. The revelation is not of John, it is Jesus Christ. So what we need to have there is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God. By John, God gave him the revelation and he recorded it. And it was written in Greek, you might like to know that. So he says that this is a revelation of Jesus Christ, that this is a special revelation. The word revelation speaks of an unveiling. You know, if we didn't have different portions of the scripture, it would be very hard for us to understand, like taking one portion out and then try to base our whole doctrine on that one verse. But when we compare things, this one with that one, and we seek the Holy Spirit's guide for us, then he does reveal to us what the scriptures say. And isn't that beautiful? So this is an unveiling of Jesus Christ in a different aspect than we have seen before, because he's going to be seen as the King of Kings in this book. And it's to show, this book is written so that we can understand. I know that there's great misconception and misteaching on the book of Revelation, but praise the Lord for the power of the Holy Spirit and teachers that taught us, that knew absolutely revelation of the Word of God. They knew what the truth was, and so we were given this knowledge. Thank you, Lord. And it was to show to the servants of the Lord, what things must shortly come to pass. And my goodness, it hadn't been short, has it? I mean, this was way back there in 96 AD, and here we are, 2022, and Jesus Christ has not come back yet. But does that mean he won't come? No, it means his coming is very near. And all the signs of the times around us today just make us know that his coming is near. All of this plague that we've had all over the world, we're blessed to be in the U.S., but there are people in Africa and different places that don't even have access to any vaccines or anything. Many, many people dying. But all these things are going to come pass. And in God's, you know, a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. In God's idea, it's just a short time. He's been dealing with us in this grace age. So it will shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel or his messenger unto his servant John. So as John was out there alone on that island in the place where he was, exiled, the Lord God sent a messenger, and the messenger came and gave him a wonderful knowledge. And then he says that this John, the servant of God, bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. That's what he told. He was quick to follow exactly as the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. By the word of God, he knew the word of God, and then the testimony of Jesus that he had heard when Jesus was right there with him all the time, teaching him, helping him understand, and all the things that he saw. He had seen a lot by this age. He had seen many miraculous miracles. He'd seen Jesus. He saw Jesus taken again into heaven. Oh, all of the marvelous things we can think of. And then verse 3, Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Like I say, over 2,000 years now. Praise the Lord. We can still know that these things are, we are blessed if we read this, if we study this. We are experiencing a blessing that God has for us. Praise the Lord. The words of this prophecy. Glory to God. And we're going to go down to verse 9. This may seem odd, but this has seemed like it was a good way to do this, because here again, John is speaking of himself, and then we're going to go back and do those other verses. I, John, in verse 9, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. My, he's going through a lot. Notice he was in the Spirit's power. He was in the power of the Spirit when he was led. Notice that. It was the Spirit that gave him the revelation of this truth. On the Lord's Day. People think the Lord's Day is Sunday. That's not what this is talking about at all. This is talking about he was transported to the time that Christ was reigning. It's the Lord's Day now. This is man's day we live in. But the Lord's Day is coming, where he will be recognized as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And praise God that John was able, by just the Holy Spirit's power, just to translate him clear over here to the Lord's Day, the time he's going to be looking into the tribulation. When Jesus has taken his throne, he takes it at the beginning of the tribulation, and then all of that other time that we see in Revelation, it was revealed to John what would happen. Okay. And he heard behind him a great voice as a voice of a trumpet. Now, when I was in Bible school, this is how Sister Bodie, I knew Sister Bodie, she was my teacher. She would walk forward like this, and she said he was looking into the tribulation. John was looking into the tribulation. And he hears a voice behind him, and he turns around, and he looks backward. He's in the church age, but he's looking at the tribulation. And the Lord speaks to him from behind, and he turns, and he sees the church age. That's why we have the second chapter and the third chapter that talk all about these churches. Those churches represent the church age. Things that have happened in the church age. But I love that, because that reminds me of my dear teacher, who is so powerful in her faith and lived to be an old lady. Yes, so he was in the Spirit, in the Spirit's power, and he came under the Spirit's power, and he saw visions of the future. He was going to go that way, but the Lord said, turn this way. And the Lord called him back into that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. All right. I wrote a lot of notes. I don't think I'm going to go over all of them. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to go back. We're going to read I wanted to read verse 11 also, but I guess I'll get that later. But let's go back to verse 4 now. Now, John here is in his introduction, he's telling us that who he is ministering this to and who he's giving it to is the seven churches of Asia. And in verse 11, we'll come back to that now. This voice behind him said, I am Alpha and Omega. These are Greek alphabet words. Alpha is the first one of the alphabet in Greek, and Omega is the last one. So what is God saying? He's not saying, let's go and study the Greek alphabet. We know he's not doing that. He is saying, Jesus Christ is saying to John, I am the first and the last. See the next phrase? The first and the last. What does that mean? Jesus wasn't invented when he was born a baby in Bethlehem, was he? He's the Son of God, one of the Trinity from eight eons back. He was there. In fact, in Colossians, it says he created the world. Colossians, the first chapter, about verse 15, I think it is. And so this is what he's saying. I'm the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And then here they are, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I was looking through a magazine. I had sometimes get archaeology magazines. I just like this stuff. But anyway, I was looking there, and they had dug up Laodicea. I thought that was kind of interesting. And as we know later on about Laodicea, as we get to that, you'll know that they were not a very strong church at all. They didn't really know the Lord really like they should have. And but anyway, all of these churches of Asia, you know, you can just sit there and say, well, what on earth are we going to talk about the churches of Asia about? But they represent, as I said, this church age, and we're going to see that. Okay, but we're not going to do it this morning. Now we're going to go back to John on verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace unto you and peace. Praise the Lord. Grace and peace. That's the message, isn't it? That's the message of Apostle Paul. It's our message. Grace. What does grace mean? That we're getting something we don't deserve. Grace is given to us, and we don't even deserve it. It's a gift. In fact, the word actually means a gift. A lot of people think that Lord gives you a gift and you have to pay for it. And then peace from him. And notice he goes in threes, which is, which was, and which is to come. You'll notice that as we're reading. He'll put three things together like that. So Jesus Christ is the eternal Lord, isn't he? He's from way, way back. He was there with the Father, like I said a moment ago. All things created. Praise the Lord. I love that. And when he deals with our life, he is always with us. Praise the Lord. He is the one which is, which was, and which is to come. And he will never change. That's what the scripture says. He's the unchangeable Lord. He never changes, neither does God the Father or the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And notice, he is the prince of the kings of the earth. The king Jesus has not been recognized as the king of all the earth, but he is. And as John is looking into this time future, he's going to see in the fourth chapter Jesus sitting on his throne. He's going to see it in a vision. And we know that Jesus is not yet sitting on the throne that he's going to have. And I know that you know where he is actually sitting. Where is he sitting today? At the right hand of the Father. He's waiting. The scripture says he's waiting until he puts all his enemies under his feet. That time has not come yet. The tribulation is going to be the time when all of his enemies are put under his feet. Right now, he is waiting for the time. In Matthew, it says that no man knows the time of all this to happen except God the Father. I don't really understand that, why Jesus wouldn't know too. But anyway, when God says, and I've heard other ministers say this, when God says to Jesus, who's sitting there on his right hand, son, go get your bride. It's going to be like that. He's going to come and take away his bride in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the scripture says. Praise the Lord. And so, glory to God. Let's go ahead and read some more. And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness. Oh, pardon me, I skipped one. From the seven spirits which are before his throne. A translation that is better is, and the sevenfold spirit which is before his throne. the sevenfold spirit. The Holy Spirit, notice that is capitalized. Usually when it's speaking about the Holy Spirit, it capitalizes it because he's part of the Trinity. And so here it says that there'll be seven different spirits and in the Holy Spirit. And in Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2, it lists characteristics. I've always applied those to Christ, but they also apply to the Spirit of God. And so he is before his throne and before Jesus' throne, God's throne. He's waiting. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one that moves and does things. The Holy Spirit brooded upon the face of the water back in Genesis 1. And he's God's person. He's a person of the Godhead. He's a person who goes and does the will of God, moves in the will of God. And but right now he's standing there before the throne. Of course, he's with us. Those of us who are filled with the Spirit, he's in our hearts and our lives, and he governs our lives, and he leads us all the time. That's, we have to let him, but he's here. He's working. Okay, and so going to verse 5, when Jesus Christ and from Jesus Christ, not only from the Holy Spirit, but from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince, and the, pardon me, the prince of the kings of the earth. John is listing everything in threes. Did you notice that? And it's a trinity, but Jesus himself has three different things. He is the faithful witness. He was here on the earth. He never failed in doing the will of God, preaching the word of God, no matter when they persecuted him. He was always glorifying the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's a beautiful thing there, that he is a faithful witness. And he was the first begotten from the dead. Now we have John 3:16. He's the only begotten son. Birth. But Jesus Christ died and was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. And when he was raised from the dead, it was like birth again. He was totally dead and he was raised into a new body, a different body that could go through the walls. He was glorified, we say. Praise the Lord. Then the third one is the prince of the kings of the earth. And we know that he is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will be over everything else. All of the people of this earth that think they're so mighty and they can just do whatever they want about the government and everything else and not be accountable for it. The Lord is going to hold them accountable and he is going to reign. Jesus Christ is going to reign over this earth for 1,000 years after the tribulation. Praise the Lord. And then it, notice it says again, unto him that loved us. She's saying some more things. Unto him that loved us. Oh, how much did he love us, folks? How much did he love you? Do you know that Jesus loves you? He's never stopped loving you. He always loves us. Oh, I praise him for that. Oh, what a wonderful Lord we have. We should love him with all of our hearts, all of our soul, and all of our body, everything we are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He loved us so much that he washed away our sins. He forgave us of all of our sins. He doesn't sit up there saying, oh, look at them. I'm going to put a bad mark by their name. That is so legalistic. He does not do that. He cares for us. He is working in our lives. He loves us so much right now today that he's preparing a place for us. We're going to be with him one of these days. Oh, I can hardly wait. It's going to be so wonderful. Praise the Lord. When we were expecting company when I was a child, I would tell my mother, oh, I just can't wait. And she would say, you have to. Well, that's kind of the way it is with us. We think we can't stand it. Have you ever thought that in your life? I can't stand this anymore. And the Lord says, You have to wait. Wait on the Lord is what Scripture says. So praise the Lord. He is doing all these things for us. Glory to God. So he washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he's made us kings and priests unto God. It's all the Lord that's doing it. The Lord is making us who we're going to be. We're not holding, gritting our teeth, oh, I got to overcome today. I can't do so-and-so, you know. The Lord won't be pleased. That's self-effort, and God is not pleased with that. The Holy Spirit is doing this work. And our Lord Jesus Christ is working in our life. He is making us what we're going to be in the future. And we have the privilege of being in this position where we rule and reign with Christ. We have the privilege. Praise the Lord. And it says, kings and priests unto God and to his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Why did it say God and his Father? Isn't God the Father God? And then Jesus is Jesus. You see, when Jesus reigns on his throne, he's going to have all authority. He's going to be like God the Father. See, they're three persons, but they're one in character. And so that's what that means there. And then he says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Okay, this is not talking about the coming of the Lord for us. He's going to come and receive us if we're overcomers. There are different groups of people that are going to come up to heaven. We see the overcoming people that go to heaven. Then we see in chapter 7, we see a great company of people that are just almost too much to number. And they go up, and that's after the tribulation has started. And then in chapter 14, we see 144,000 Jews that are taken to heaven. See, these are different parts. So when it says here, behold, he comes with clouds, this is recorded in Revelation 19. If you'll turn there quickly. Revelation 19, we see that the saints of God are in heaven, and the marriage supper of the Lamb has taken place, and his bride has been married to him now. And beginning in verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. This is Jesus Christ. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And right immediately after this is when he throws the Antichrist and the false prophet into the bottomless pit. Or not the pit, the lake of fire. So we know that this is the coming of Christ right there at the end of the tribulation. So this verse that we're reading here, John is saying there in verse 7, he comes with clouds. See, that's when he went up in a cloud, it says in Acts 1. And then when he comes back, he's going to have people of God with him. The saints of God are going to be with him, riding on white horses. You think it's a literal white horse? I think it's probably typical of power, but who knows? God has power to do anything, doesn't he? So anyway, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, John is the one that's saying even so, amen, about what he just said. Do you think that you and I need to agree with God about things? Or, you know, I've known of a man whose relatives were believers, and he cried and cried and cried and blamed God because they hadn't got saved, and they passed away. So, you know, we have to say, even so, amen. We can look at that scripture and say, yes, the Lord's going to come in power and glory. He's going to smite the earth and the unbelievers, Antichrist, and everybody's going to be totally destroyed. You know, all of that's going to happen. And we might think, well, that's not just. How come he would do that? Why didn't he preach a sermon and try to get them all saved? There'll only be one third of Israel left that will receive Christ at that point. But we need to say amen to the will of God. Even so, John says. Okay, this is fine. Even so, amen. And then verse 8, and we're going to close. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. This is God's stuff. See, we don't have power over this at all. This is the plan of God from before the foundation of the world. It's going to happen. It's going to happen just like God has planned. And he is the one that is the beginning and the end and all of this. Praise the Lord. So I hope you received something from that today. And just be in prayer with me about going ahead and teaching more. We aren't able to cover the first chapter in one setting. So we're going to go ahead easy and just try to take bits of it each time. And I hope that is in agreement with you too. But I think if you haven't heard this taught, you know, it's really good. You need to know. You need to know what is here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have that word where he says, which is to come, the Almighty. That Almighty means the all-ruling God, the absolute and universal sovereign, the Almighty potentate. And the word potentate means all-powerful. He has power over all things at all times and in all ways. I love that. So sometimes when you think your life is a mess and the thing is all not working, remember this. God has control over all things at all times and all ways. It's hard sometimes. Praise the Lord.